think I'm gonna swim all the way to Atlanta? I hate the water. Hoist the anchor, mateys. We got us a skin job to take to Atlanta.
That was a quote from Cyborg, the 1989
film. I don't remember
a
pirate accent like that.
He does do, he suddenly switches and starts doing a weird voice, like a kind of Cockney, or like, he does do a weird voice.
Yeah. Okay, sorry,
I am Alex Humphrey. That was Chris Redding, and over the other side of the internet is Sam Draper. Hey, Sam.
I can't stand assholes. I hate the water.
That's very good. That's your Fender, is
my
it?
My Fender, yeah.
That's your Fender. So, yes, we are the Science Fiction Rating System, and we're here to rank and rate science fiction films. We're doing Cyborg because it was my birthday. We wouldn't normally do Cyborg. Look, let's just get this out of the way. It's a very bad, low-quality, terrible film. If you are a long-time listener to the podcast, you'll know that I like this type of film. Sam's in the middle. Chris is all the way out the door. not a fan at all. I've never seen this. But the reason I picked this is I've never seen it before. I am a Jean-Claude Van Damme fan. I think we did Knights because someone made us do it. It wasn't me.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't me. Knights was awful, equally awful, and also directed by Albert Pyun.
Who
directed and wrote Cyborg. He wrote Cyborg, but under the name Kitty Chalmers.
Oh, that's him, is it?
I think that's what I've... On IMDb, it says as Kitty Chalmers, which is...
I wondered who that was, because I only know the credit, I think, was that Journey to Center Earth that I sent you, and Albert Pyun was uncredited on a lot of that, so that's just him, is it?
I think it's just him. I was a little bit... I was kind of a bit interested in this film because... of how it was made. So basically, Canon Films initially intended to make a sequel to the 1987 He-Man film, Master Universe, which we've also watched, and also a live-action Spider-Man film. Now, Albert Pyun had done a Captain America film, so again, I think it's maybe hard if you're a younger listener to this to imagine a time when Marvel was basically just toilet. Like, no one cared about superheroes.
Yeah.
They were just trash for kids. And the licenses for things like Spider-Man and any character were probably, like, a tenner. Like, they're probably dirt cheap. Like, they just were happy that something was being made, probably, weren't they, at that point?
Yeah. Pre-Batman, isn't it? It's pre-Burton's Batman is, like, when it's sort of...
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's weird, isn't it? Because... Superman was huge, but it didn't inspire a whole load of films, did it? It's weird.
Oh. I suppose Superman's like more, he's on a level of popularity above other things, I suppose, maybe.
And also it's weird because the Incredible Hulk TV show was huge, but didn't inspire other TV shows. It's a very weird, I don't know. Again, maybe if you're listening to this and you're younger, you might just be like, that sounds so odd, but that is the truth. It's just how it was for ages. Canon. So they basically, both those films were going to be made, and they're both going to be made by Albert Pyun. Canon, however, was in financial trouble and had to cancel deals with both Mattel and Marvel, the owners of He-Man and Spider-Man, respectively. They had already spent $2 million on costumes and sets for both films and decided to start a new project to recoup that money. Pyun wrote the storyline for Cyborg in one weekend. He had Chuck Norris in mind for the lead, but basically the co-producer said, no, it's going to go to Jean-Claude Van Damme. The film was shot for less than $500,000 and was filmed in 23 days. It was shot entirely in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's weird, isn't it? I can't really see anything in this that would be Spider-Man. Maybe some of the derelict factory bit or... I mean, I can see Master of the Universe a little bit because that's a kind of weird future planet thing, isn't it? But
some of their costumes are a bit Master of the Universe, aren't they, I suppose.
Yeah. But. I mean, the two things about this film. Number one, the characters, they don't really have... a few of them do have names that I wrote down, but I couldn't keep track of anyone's name in this.
No.
The cyborg's called Pearl. I never knew what Jean-Claude Van Damme was called.
Oh, Gibson Rickenbacker.
That's at the very end, though. They say his name. I don't think they say it in the beginning.
Yeah, she calls him like Gibbsy throughout. I'm sure she does. Okay. I suppose it doesn't say the whole thing, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, most of the cast in this were stunt men who play about four different villains. Like, they play four different thugs, basically.
Did you read where Fender came from, the bad guy?
No.
Like, Albert Pyun was just on the beach and he saw a dude surfing and he's like, that guy has got the physique to be an actor, and just called him over and went, look, come be in my film. And that's how he cast Fender.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, he's a scary looking dude. He looks like a...
He does look impressive. Him and Van Damme both are impressive specimens. Yeah. Nothing else in this film.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know the weird thing about it is it made loads of money, didn't it? Off.
Oh, did it?
It was a massive success. Well, not massive, like, but it made $10 million off $500,000.
Wow.
Which is why there's a Cyborg 2 and a 3, because it's like, yes, it's like his biggest film, that Pyun.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his back catalogue, it's a lot of things no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
The original... a lot of the IMDb trivia of this film could just be bullshit. One of the things I read, which I already sent to Sam, was this film was filmed on the sets for the Crystal Maze. Now, that's obviously bullshit. That's just a lie. So I don't know if a lot of the stuff I've written is bullshit, but one of the things about this film, it said, Albert Pyun's original cut of Cyborg was a 2-hour black and white rock opera that was much darker and more violent. Jean-Claude Van Damme's dialogue, including extensive narration, was dubbed by another actor. Cannon held a test screening of that version for an audience of 100 people. Of the 100 people, 99 of them said they hated it. Which is brilliant. Yeah. Albert Pyun got kicked off the whole project, but Van Damme convinced the producers to give him and his friend, Sheldon Lech, 2 months to re-edit the film. And they'd done this with Bloodsport originally as well. And basically they re-edited it and made it much more commercial. And that is why it's a success. So it's kind of odd. You don't really think of Jean-Claude as being this kind of... that creative, but obviously he's got, I mean, he knows what he's doing if he managed to make a 2-hour black and white opera, you know, if that's real. I don't know.
I mean, apparently, like, the original version, which is called Slinger, isn't it? Like, yes, that's what it was called. Apparently that was released in Germany, like,
oh, like that,
just in Germany, quite recently. Well, he's dead now, must have been about 10 years ago or something.
Yeah,
like, his director's cut, but I couldn't find it anywhere.
No,
I did find a work print of
weird. Yeah, I mean, so. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole and I tried to look at what the differences were. Now, I think the original version was gorier and they edited some stuff out. Most of those, like, you know, those proper nerdy Blu-ray comparisons that you get, most of them that I read, I think a lot of people thought that this version was better because it's a bit tighter. I don't think the original version, apart from them explaining what a slinger is, which just seems to be the only thing that is not in this. So we open on a kind of post-apocalyptic world, and we get Fender Tremolo, to give him his full name, and he does his little speech. I will read his speech because it's a good speech. First there was the collapse of civilization, anarchy, genocide, starvation. Then when it seems things couldn't get any worse, we got the plague, the living death quickly closing its fists over the entire planet. Then we heard the rumours that the last scientists were working on a cure that could end the plague and restore the world. Restore it? Why? I like the death. I like the misery. I like this world. That's what he says.
I thought it was quite a good opening.
It's not a bad opening, is it? Yeah.
Better than the film.
Yeah, it's a good little speech. I'd recognised it instantly.
We'll be watching this because of Fallout is out as well.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because I watched Fallout. It just made me think of Fallout.
There's some bits that are a bit like Fallout, aren't there?
Well, yeah. Post-apocalyptic, yeah. Both. Yeah,
yeah,
both watched Fallout?
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. No. You say it was good, though, Sam.
Well, it starts all right. It goes downhill as it goes on. Oh. But it starts well.
It's interesting. I didn't know anything about the game, so...
See, that's the thing. I think if you don't know, it's probably better, because there's a couple of big twists in it, which if you know the games, you know... From before, like from literally the first frame of the thing.
Yeah. See, I'm currently.
It seems very creative if you don't know the game, because it's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I'm playing the game now, and that's what makes me not want to watch it, because I'm like, I don't want everything to be that post-apocalyptic. That feels a bit much.
Too much. Yeah. It's definitely worth watching. It's
and then you watch the two films that we just watched.
Yeah, yes. I know. I forgot about that. Yes, it's a good little speech. It's sampled in Method Man's song Judgment Day. And in fact, it's on the album Judgment Day. Or was it the song? Anyway, the video to the single off that looks very much like Cyborg. He's kind of wearing this kind of chainmail thing, and it's obviously influenced. It's also, I'll tell you some other places, it's also the opening song of World Damnation by the death metal band Mortician. It's also played in live shows of metal band Chimeria's Resurrection and the beginning of a song by Australian Christian gore grindcore band Vomitorial Copulence. So it's been used a lot, that opening. But yeah, basically, it's an apocalyptic world. There's a woman running about. There's people crucified in the streets. She gets chased. And basically, she meets up with Van Damme, who's a slinger, which is a mercenary, basically. And it turns out that she is a cyborg who's been built to go and get some information. That was a vague concept, wasn't it? To take back to Atlanta where the CDC... I mean, that's because that is where the CDC is, isn't it?
I think so.
Because it was always Walking Dead. They kept wanting to go to Atlanta because that's where the...
Are they the ones with all the Ghostbusters merch? I know that was FEMA.
FEMA. Yeah, I'm sure it was in Walking Dead. They wanted to go to Atlanta because they thought there'd be a cure for the but yeah. So she's a cyborg. She needs to get back to Atlanta. And basically, JC, he doesn't really help her, does he? He's not really that bothered about
the whole
helping
film.
Her.
He's not really doing anything.
No,
film happens despite him.
He's a funny.
He just gets caught.
Lead.
All he does really is have flashbacks, isn't it? It's kind of all he does. Really.
Yeah, mainly.
He fights, I suppose.
He fights a bit, but yeah. So basically, Fender gets her and
Can we talk about the names for a second here?
Well, do you want? I can jump ahead because I've got a quiz to do with the names.
Oh, right, I can wait. It's fine.
Because the names
are pretty weird. I mean, yeah,
the names are very weird. the whole film is basically that Fender's got the cyborg and him and his gang going to Atlanta, and then JCVD teams up with other woman whose name's Nady, I think. I never got her name. I just had to keep writing woman. I'm just, sorry, they never said. So, and thereafter Fender as well. And she's motivated by actually wanting to do something positive for the world. He's just motivated by revenge, kind of, but... I mean, it doesn't really feel like even... I mean, he's just all over the place as a character, isn't he?
Doesn't say a lot.
No.
I do also say he does look pretty... He looks good in it. He's like peak jawline, isn't it? You can see why they made him a star in this film, I think.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah, no.
He looks too good for his acting talent and too good for this film, doesn't he? It's like,
And so
he opens his mouth, think, oh, there's a star. And then he's like, well, you can't act. And that's why he's in Cyborg rather than something...
I mean, he doesn't have much to say. Hollywood
was mad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the fact they could just bang this film out with using bits of stuff from other... I mean, I thought the sets looked pretty good. I thought a lot of the sets looked... They looked quite big. They seemed to walk through and around quite a lot of the sets, if they were sets. A lot of it looked location to me. What did you think?
Oh, I think it's all...
It was a pretty nuts location, though.
Where was it filmed?
Wilmington. I mean,
Wilmington's a bit rough.
You've got an entire abandoned factory. You've got two ships that are in the land.
Yeah.
You've got a desert bit. You've got a bog-ridden field. I mean, it's a pretty nuts...
That field bit looks really nice. That's the best bit of the film, I think, visually.
North Carolina.
Around that
Carolinas.
That's where Brendan was from, wasn't it?
Was Brendan?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. We should ask him if
it does look like that.
Did you grow up in a shithole? He left. He lives in Poland now, so maybe it was a shithole.
He's been living there a very long time. Yeah. When we discover that Pearl is a cyborg, she takes her wig off and you've got this kind of weird big
terrible.
It's terrible. It's yeah, it's pretty terrible. Her eye, she's got like one really buggy eye, isn't she? And like it's all really like
it's funny. Oh. Like as soon as the wig's off, she starts looking like a robot and having robot noises. Where before, yeah. She was passing for a
yeah
human before.
It's funny. Yeah. The only motor control they've got as well is like just tip her head back a bit, isn't it? She goes like.
Mm. Yeah, no, she can't do
it. It's much. Really, really bad.
No, and they do it then, and then you see it maybe, I think, later on in a flashback of her being made, and then that's it. They've just got that one thing, haven't they? There's some quite... I mean, throughout this film, there's some quite weird but funny moments. One of them comes when Jean-Claude Van Damme, you see a full moon, you hear a howl, and then Jean-Claude Van Damme's fist explodes out of a load of boxes straight up into the air like that. And it's like he's just been like, I don't know, it's like he's just been like lying in the dirt for ages. I don't know. I don't know why he's been lying in the dirt. But anyway, Fender goes and gets a boat because, as we heard in my intro, he hates swimming. And this is, there's a lot of gore. I mean, it's that 80s, isn't it? It's that 80s yeah. level of just, extreme gore and just like they just burn a load of villagers, don't they? And
did you know he's a meat pirate?
Is that the term?
Apparently they're meat pirates. Apparently that's what they're supposed to be. Yeah, they love meat.
Oh, they love meat. Okay. Yeah. this is where he meets Nady, the woman, and it's where we begin some extensive flashbacking for Jean-Claude Van Damme. There's a lot of extensive flashbacks.
I think he flashbacks within a flashback at one point, doesn't he? He's on the cross later on.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. So his backstory is that he met a woman who had a family whose dad was dead, and he was a bit rude about... he was going to take them somewhere, and he was a bit rude at first, but he was good with the kids, she says.
What is it they say? I've got that, you're good with them. I like them.
Yeah, it's a bit creepy, isn't it?
But he says two or three times, isn't he, I think?
Yeah. And they ended up at a farmhouse, and she says, do you want to stay? And he put all his guns away. He put his stuff away.
Classic.
And then on the night they made passionate love in the blue moonlight, Fender and his gang are at the window. Like, they're really weirdly just standing at the window, aren't they? Like in a little line, like looking in. Really
Fender looks like Jean-Claude Van Damme in that shot. And I thought, oh, is he a cyborg and this is him as well? Oh. He's going to be the bad guy as well. But he wasn't. That would have been more interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the title itself is confusing. The only cyborg is Pearl. I think Fender has the plague. That's why his eyes are really weird.
Yeah, but they keep showing those, don't they? So you're about to think, like, oh, he's going to be a cyborg, don't they?
What, his eyes?
Yeah. There's a few times where, like, they go, like, they show him really close up.
I think that may have been the story at one point, and then they didn't go with it.
I'll tell you something about those.
Which would have been perfect as a cyborg, because he is a little bit like Schwarzenegger-y in sense his acting, isn't he?
Yeah, he does look like. Victor Klein once recalled that because of the low budget of the film, there were only two pairs of contact lenses made for his character. He would go on to say that he had lost the first pair in an unspecified early scene, and then later on while filming the final fight scene, he thought he'd lost the others as well. Filming had to immediately stop while the crew tried to find them, which allowed Klein to return to his dressing room trailer. There he discovered, sorry if you're eating, that the lenses had actually shifted up above his eyes from all the smoke, dirt and high winds of the final scene being filmed, and that was causing him to blink uncontrollably. By blinking again in his trailer, he's able to move the lenses back down and then just went out and said, oh, we can carry on.
I found them.
Yeah.
I found them, everyone.
How hilarious, though, to stop the whole of the filming to search for these... Grim.
There's a thing here on Wikipedia that he got sued by a stuntman for poking his eye out.
In one of the fights, Jean-Claude blinded someone with a sword, I think, and it went to a court case.
Yeah.
Does it say how much they settled? Wasn't it? It's like...
We settled for the same as the budget of the film.
Yeah.
What was Jean-Claude on then for this film? He lost a lot of money, surely.
There's a thing where he says where he was offered three films.
Delta Force 2, Ninja Warrior 3, I think.
And this.
I know Bloodsport already come out, but he can't have been much of a big deal, can he, at this point?
No.
You know what? When the first years I went to Cannes Film Festival, which must have been like 2008 or something like that, he was still massive on like some of the posters, like on the front, on the main drag.
Really?
Right? He was still a thing.
Yeah.
And he's like going rate was like, everyone was like, yeah, he's going rate. It's like 2 million for per movie.
Hmm. Wow.
It was just interesting how I crossed over with when there was still around.
Yeah. When did JCVD come out?
I don't know, because that felt like that was his kind of renaissance.
But it never really happened, did it?
No. And he made... Yeah, I mean, JCVD is a brilliant film. And he he did this TV series that is actually quite funny, where he kind of... He takes the mick out of himself. And there's... within that TV series, there's a person... There's, like, him playing two characters, and the other version of him is really funny. It's... Yeah, he never really got to that. He never really had a renaissance, did he? He's not really...
It wasn't JCVD either. I can't remember what... I'm trying to find what the poster may have been. But...
Actually, JCVD, I saw that at Toronto Film Festival. It was when we were in Canada.
Is that BO8 with it?
Yeah, so that was when we were in Canada.
It could have been. But I imagine... I thought he was doing more of like a... More sort of karate chop.
He had a bit like, of a... I think he had a bit of a comeback, but not
enough. He's in one of the Expendables, wasn't he?
Yes, he is in one. Yeah,
he's but, terrible in that. Isn't
yeah, it? But not. He's not a main character in it, is he?
When's his like? What's his like? I guess like Time Cop and
Start switching to cameos by the end. Really,
yeah,
didn't it?
No,
really?
Time Cop is the that's the when that's he's the Hollywood. Peak, yeah, he's Hollywood. Yeah, that's the kind of peak. 90s, I guess.
Sudden Death.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Sudden Death's a good film.
Double Impact. It's good.
Double Impact, yeah.
Expendables 2 he was in.
Oh, okay.
Expendables 2, there we go.
So anyway, stuff's going on. People are walking about. There's a great bit where they get to a signpost that has three directions. Wasteland, Charleston, and Temptation. And it's funny that, I mean, was that a modern sign? They built that since the apocalypse?
Yeah. That's the only bit of government that survived, like the sign department.
The sign department.
They're doing fine.
Yeah, they're still going.
Civic ordinance. They're like, when the apocalypse kicks off, they're going, everything's going into shit. We can't touch civic ordinance. They need to.
It's true.
We need to get around, don't we?
I was looking out for signs like that in COVID, like where they put shit up, and I thought that's going to be like the thing that you see, which is like deteriorating, like in the movie.
They've got the train station that I go to for work has on the floor, they put down, you know, like the decal to say like stick in the right hand lane, left hand lane, all the code stuff for that, and they're doing that, they're fading away.
Oh, okay.
Nicely. Yeah, it looks very post-apocalyptic. Okay. Yeah.
Nicely. That's turning out nicely.
Yeah. I mean the geography of this film is utter crap, because Fender's on a boat, but yet even though Jean-Claude,
that boat looks so cheap.
Nice, yeah. But they're walking and they're behind, but they manage to catch up. Don't they? They're like basically alongside.
Like, they're like either side of this little tiny little bit of river, aren't they? For ages. Like, it's like he's just there staring at them for ages.
Yeah, he's just walking along where they're going, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some fights. They're quite fun. Jean-Claude's got a little blade in his boot.
They're not shot well, are they, though? I know, like, he can move well, but, like, the amount of times he does a twizzle kick up.
No, they're not edited. No, the fights aren't edited. It's not classic fight scenes. They get to a beach, and because they've got some time, they decide to go naked swimming because they're ahead of the schedule, I guess.
Yeah.
And she kind of like, there's a bit where you think, oh, are we an hour in? Is there going to be a sex scene? And he's like, nah, I'm all right, thanks. Which I was like, well done, film.
It took him an hour to get there, though. I thought.
Yeah.
But I thought that's quite good of the film not to.
That was weird. And I was then, when they get to that flashback and they show it then, don't they? I thought, oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
You've got to eventually. You have to do eventually.
Yeah, so, and then we see, like I say, on this, you go over to Pearl and then you're seeing her getting, she's just a person, and they go like, oh, are you sure you want to be a cyborg? And she's like, oh, no, I'm, because she's the perfect candidate for it for some reason, to be a cyborg.
I don't understand.
And you see a bit of that.
But she's not a cyborg then, Pearl.
She's a person. Cyborged, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, is that flashback to that, isn't there? Yeah, yeah. And the guy's like saying, yes, I can.
Yeah. So we're about halfway through. Would you like a quiz?
Yes, please. Save us.
So it's because of Jean-Claude Van Damme, it's a three-name actor quiz. Okay. So you can pick actors or actresses.
Okay.
I'll fire the first name at you. Okay. All of these people have two more names. If you can get all their name after one, you get 2 points. If I have to go to middle name, you get 1 point for completing it.
Okay.
So it's kind of quick fire. Yeah.
So you're going to say like the name Sam, and we've got to guess what actor it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Sam Taylor Wood.
I don't know if I have him. Do you want? So
it's a she, but
Chris, do you want to go first? If you go first, right? Do you want actors or actresses?
Actors.
You want actors? Okay.
Yeah.
So Daniel.
Day-Lewis.
Yes. Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
Can I steal if he doesn't get it?
Do you want the middle name?
Yes.
Dean. Jeffrey Dean.
I would have got it.
Dean
Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Okay, Sam. Yeah. Have a point for that. Casper.
Casper.
You must know this one.
Dean Starship Troopers.
Just the Troopers.
Yeah, Casper Dean something, isn't it?
Van Diem.
Oh.
Van Diem. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Johnny.
Johnny. No.
Oh,
Johnny Lee.
British. Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah, okay. Michael.
Dexter Man.
You can't yell in. Give him a chance.
Sorry.
Michael.
There are two Michaels.
No, sorry.
Michael J.
Fox.
Yep, and Michael.
That's not a middle name.
That's not a middle name.
That's his initial.
It's people who are known by three names.
Oh, okay.
And Michael Clark.
I was just going to say that, but I thought it was stupid.
Sam. Okay.
Okay.
Benito.
Del Toro.
Yeah.
Benicio, isn't it?
Okay.
Benicio.
Joseph.
Joseph. Joseph.
Brick.
Batman. Oh, yeah. Easy.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joseph.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, okay, Sam. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Sean.
Oh, I know.
This is a really difficult game.
American, it's not, American Pie.
Sean William Scott.
Yes, Sam. Okay. Philip.
Philip.
R.I.P.
Oh, the one from the car programme. Films.
What? No. The Master, Magnolia, Mission Impossible 3.
Oh, yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes. Hayley.
Hayley.
Six cents.
J-O with the initials.
You are good at this, Sam.
I am good at this, aren't I?
No, I don't know it.
Joel Osment.
Yep. Tommy. Yeah. You said this
Lee
one.
Lee Jones.
Yes. Yeah. James.
James. How many of these
Darth
are
Vader.
There?
Darth Vader.
Darth
James
Vader.
Earl Jones.
Yes. You got a few more. David.
David. What's that guy who's...
He's in Frasier. Isn't
he? Oh, yeah. David Fuck.
Not David Fuck.
HP initials.
High Pierce.
Yes. And then you got Billy. Two Billies.
Billy Ray something.
Oh, no.
That's a woman.
Yeah. No.
You got Billy BT.
You got Billy to
in a creepy Velcro room. Remember that? It's Mario Trangelia Jolie and they had a room with Velcro on the wall.
Yeah.
No, what is it?
Billy Bob Thornton and
out of Star Wars.
Yes. Oh, Sam, you've done very well on this quiz. Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams.
Okay, right, okay. Well, I reckon you got like 2, 4, 6, 8, about 10, but I think Sam pretty much got about the same. Right. Okay, so this is Sam's. I'm going to go faster because you're good at this.
All right. Okay.
So, Kristen.
Scott Thomas.
Yes. Catherine.
Peter Jones.
Vivica.
Think Fox. A Fox.
Yes. Julia. She's from Seinfeld.
Oh, Louis Dreyfus.
Evan.
Rachel Wood.
Yes. Helena.
Bonham Carter.
Jada.
Pinkett Smith.
Sarah twice.
Jessica Parker.
And?
Michelle Geller.
Yes, Gina.
Oh, not Gina Davis, sadly. No. Gina. Need more.
Gina Lee.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Gina Lee Nolan.
I don't know.
Okay. Bruce.
Bruce?
Isn't it? Oh, Bryce.
Oh, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes. Two Jennifers.
Jennifer Scott Lee.
Jennifer Jason Lee.
Oh, sorry, Jennifer Jason Lee, sorry.
And
Jennifer, I don't know.
Jennifer.
What's that?
Love Hewitt.
Oh, Love Hewitt.
Oh, okay. Jamie.
Lee Curtis.
Millie.
Bobby Brown, sorry.
Phoebe.
Waller-Bridge.
Carrie.
These are a lot easier.
Carrie?
Well, she's got one name is two names. Carrie Matrix.
Oh, Carrie, sorry. Oh, Carrie Ann Moss.
Yes, and then you've got two Marys to finish.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, yeah. You can have that. That's a bonus point. It's not who I had.
Mary.
Very 80s, 90s actresses, both of them, I would say.
Mary.
They're quite hard, these ones, I would say, but.
Steenbergen's not. That's one word, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
Give me a clue.
Mary Stuart.
No, I don't know.
Mary Lee? Stuart Masterson and Mary Elizabeth.
That one from. Abyss.
Good. Well done. So, what do you think? Did you think the actresses were easier?
They were. He's they push. Seemed to roll off the
well,
tongue.
I got what you were saying.
Yeah.
Right, so back to Cyborg and JCVD. They go to a big factory, and there's this brilliant bit where.
William. Hang on a minute, that quiz was wrong because he's got four names, isn't he, really? John Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah.
So the whole quiz was a bit.
Well, you don't count Von or Van in these names,
oh,
do you?
Oh, don't you? Well, we had Casper Van Dien, so.
And actually, Jean Claude is hyphenated, so really, yeah. He's just, yeah. Just a normal name.
It's a normal name.
Yeah, he's in a factory and he's mucking around. There's lots of fighting in this. His gun is a Tippermann SMG 60 paintball gun, and during this
with some shit on the end.
Yeah, and during this bit, he actually runs behind a dumpster.
Two tubes of foil, tin foil tubes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he actually runs behind a dumpster, unscrews a 9-ounce CO2 bottle, and then puts another one on to make it look like he's reloading the weapon.
Brilliant.
So yeah, there's a big fight in this factory. There's a brilliant bit where he swings on a pipe for ages. Yep. He does this huge swing on a pipe. And we basically the kind of twist here is that the woman that's with Fender is flashback to be revealed to be the daughter of the family that JCVD was with. So Fender's not only is he insulted JCVD by perving on him and killing the family, he also abducted the daughter.
Brainwashed her.
And brainwashed her, yeah. And then to escape this factory.
Hang on, is it the one who goes down the well?
Yeah, no, she's holding on to the. So yeah, so skipping ahead, the torture that Fender put them through is that JCVD, the son and the mum, were in a bucket on the well, and the bucket was held up by barbed wire.
Barbed wire.
And they make the girl hold the barbed wire to hold her family up. And
oh, that's
just,
her.
She obviously doesn't do it because it's impossible, and they go down the well and die. Maybe, I guess, JCVD, they fall first and his fall is broken by both their dead bodies, perhaps.
So he's all right.
He's fine. He climbs out fine.
Falls slower.
Maybe
I don't know whether this is like bad filmmaking. I didn't really follow this, or it was so bad that I just wasn't.
No,
really
I think it's
in
just
my brain.
No, like, no. The best bit of the film comes when they go down a drain. Jean-Claude Van Damme goes down a drain with the woman, and they set the camera up in front of the drain. And then Albert Pyun's obviously said to each individual actor, okay, run up, go down the drain. And then you see each of them run up, go down, like one by one. And it's this, and then literally when they come out of the drain later on, they all come up one by one. It's really stupid. But basically, while one of them, I've got it at 47 minutes, 15 seconds, as one of the long hair guys runs to the drain, he slips. And basically, slides a bit and then regains himself. But yeah, the best bit of the whole film, and just look this bit up, basically, it's the best bit, is there's kind of back and forth. You see Jean-Claude's, preparing himself in a real close-up with his knife, and he's, raises his knife above his head, and you're cutting back and forth between Jean-Claude and this kind of long-haired, beefy guy. And then he just keeps going back, forth, back, forth, back, forth, and then it's revealed that Jean-Claude is in the splits across the top of a pipe or something above him, and then just plunges a knife into his head. And it does, even it's that's like the best bit of it's like the best shot as well, isn't
it? It's a cool shot, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Is this around the bit when that, you know, they run across that big long thing at each other? Is it the same fight? You know that guy, they're on like a walkway,
oh,
the
no,
guy's doing his blade thing. And then he runs full
for ages, yeah.
But he's going like this, he's like running like a madman. It's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they all get up and then they're in this weird field, like this kind of now,
like
a paddy field. Again, yeah, it's fine. It looks nice. They do some very... This film has some weirdly sexist rules on who gets to fight who, because the woman only seems to be able to fight other women. And there's a really silly bit where they fight each other and then they double knock each other out. Yeah. Did you notice? Like I think she stabs her, but then the woman hits her, so they both fall on the floor at the same time. Like
I wonder if that's ever happened, like in a real boxing match.
I don't know. I mean, you can barely do it in a computer game.
Like two
game.
People hit,
knockout hit. I bet it
same
happened,
time.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I mean, double KOs in Street Fighter are pretty difficult to even do. Yeah. I would say.
But in real life, though, you could believe it, couldn't you? Like if they both were doing a
I guess.
A swing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah, there's some. Yeah, there
was a sequel with Angelina Jolie in.
Yes.
There's two sequels, I think,
wasn't
there?
Two sequels.
Wow.
So, Jean-Claude Van Damme's problem basically is he can only fight people one on one. And at this point, the gang work that out and basically go at him five on one. And he very easily gives up and gives up, doesn't he? He's like, he's defeated by this quite easily. He has a fight with Fender and they kind of go at it. Jean-Claude's rubbish and Fender beats him and we fade to black. Now, you mentioned about the names. Do you want to know... I'm going to read you all the names of the characters.
I mean, it's pretty obvious what they are, isn't it?
Do you know what they all are? You know,
well, they're
you
all
know
guitars, aren't they?
Well, there's
like amps and stuff.
He's Gibson Rickenbacker.
Yeah.
Then there's Fender Tremolo.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a... They're all guitars, like guitar stuff, basically, yeah.
There's also a character called Marshall Stratt. So that's the Stratocaster, yeah.
Stratocaster.
There's someone called Les.
Les Paul.
Pearl Prophet. Do you know that one?
Yeah, Pearl is an amp, yeah.
I've got Pearl Drums and Prophet 5 Synthesizer.
Oh, drum, sorry. Yeah, Prophet Synthesizer.
Nady Simmons. You know that? That's a one as well, weirdly.
I don't know that one, no.
The Nady Systems Inc. and a Simmons electric drum, basically. and there's when I was
and
doing...
he just wrote this in a studio, didn't he? And just looking around going, oh, I need names.
Well, the hilarious thing is, right, there's an article about the special edition coming up, and I don't know if they interviewed Albert Pyun when he was still alive, but they've got these big texts, big quotes from him in this article, and I can only find it in this one article, so I don't know if this is true. But a quote from this article, he says, "I think my director's cut will also explain the whole guitar concept behind the names. I'm very proud of it. It's a real different perspective on the post-apocalyptic genre." So he's making it sound like there's a reason it called that.
Whatever.
That it's obviously not intentional. Just like you say, he just looked around the room, didn't he? And just went, oh, that'll do. Like, stapler.
The name Gibson Rickenbacker was ridiculous. It's like something a child names one, isn't it? do you want an update on double knockouts?
Please.
They have happened. There have been some double knockouts.
Within boxing matches?
Within boxing. One here in 1975, Benny the Heat Briscoe and Cleveland Big Cat Williams both threw simultaneous punches that knocked each other out in the seventh round of a boxing match. So yeah, it has happened occasionally.
Wow. Don't have to be a woman to do a double knockout. Obviously, it's a cyborg's wrong. We get to the most strange part of the film now, because Fender's beaten Jean-Claude, and for his revenge, he nails Jean-Claude to the mast of a rotting boat. And I mean, the imagery here is pretty good. Like, I don't know how they did this. It looks pretty good. It's a real hull of a boat.
That wide shot of him on the pole, yeah.
Yeah.
He appears to actually just... I mean, I guess he's just got a little platform under his foot.
Yeah, yeah, but it looks pretty good, doesn't it? Like that.
It does look good. It does look good. Yeah.
And then all what we get then for the next 10 minutes, I mean, it feels like ages, is just Jean-Claude in the sun and all like bloodied up, and then constant flashbacks, and him kind of screaming,
ages.
And then like having a flashback, and then screaming again, and then having a flashback... And it
doesn't he flash back to a previous point in the film as well? Doesn't he flash back to a conversation as other earlier on? Well?
I think he does, yeah.
Really trying to hit that 1 hour 20 runtime, aren't they?
It goes on for ages, and it's very, very religious. And in the end, he remembers climbing out of the well after he got dropped, and then decides to... He kicks the mast of the... smashes the mast with his foot, basically.
Yeah.
And then just as he falls to the ground, screaming fender, the woman walks up, cuts his rope, and says, "I told you you were going to need my help." Now, what the hell was she doing for the rest of that time? Was she just around the corner, just like watching him?
Waiting
like...
for him to have his flashback.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're barreling on to the end here. They're at Atlanta. For some insane reason, Jean-Claude and Nady get to Atlanta before Fender, even though it's just impossible that they would do that because they're behind. He's been nailed to a cross for, like, what, like 2 days or something?
He does,
like,
heal very fast, doesn't he, though?
Oh, insanely
fast.
Next
time you see him, his face is pretty much fine.
No, he's absolutely fine. So, yeah, they get to Atlanta and you've got all this weird, like, lightning and it's raining. And this is obviously a set, but it's quite a big set, isn't it? It's got, like, houses on it and there's a car and, like, you know, it's... I think the sets are... But I guess if they put all this money into the sets for other films, then they just have to tart them up a bit, don't they? Really?
I mean, it doesn't look that good, does it?
I think it's good for what it is, don't you think?
I guess. I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, they made tons of money on this compared to what they spent on it,
Yeah.
Big hit.
So, yeah, so there's lots of fighting. Again, we have this kind of weird sexist fighting where the woman goes off and fights some women in another room, so we don't get to see that. And go fight, fight, fight. JCVD kills everyone. He kicks a man into a fire. The man on fire falls on a car and the car explodes. That was good. I liked that bit. And then we're down to the final fight. Fender takes off his chainmail. As you say, that actually was the costume of Blade from the Masters of the Universe. Do you remember him? So that is just that costume. They just gave it to Fender. They stare at each other with their tops off for quite a long time.
Ages.
Really.
Yeah. They just shout a lot at each other.
Yeah,
as well.
It's very homoerotic.
He shouts fucker at him, doesn't he? It's fucker.
Yeah, yeah. At this point, I realised that Fender just sounds like a Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah,
because like everyone sounds dubbed, don't they? I mean,
yeah,
Jean-Claude,
well, they do, yeah, definitely.
Jean-Claude isn't dubbed, but they all sound. It's all got that dubbing.
I think there are a lot of dubbing.
Yeah,
Fender's got to be dubbed.
Oh yeah, he definitely is. Yeah, he definitely. Yeah. Is. Yeah, so there's a huge fight. It goes on for ages.
Actually, if you gave Fender another pair of arms, he'd look like Goro from Mortal Kombat, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
he's got the physique of him, definitely.
Yeah, and as we all know, Johnny Cage is based on Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. So it goes on for ages, ages and ages and ages. Again, it looks like Jean-Claude's going to be defeated. And then Fender's just like goes and grabs... Because the girl, Hayley, the girl from before, she's like, "No, don't do it." And he's like, "Ha, ha, ha, not really." And then he just tries to kiss her and kill her. Then he stabs the other woman. Jean-Claude goes mad, kicks him from a car. And it all is fine. And then it's not fine because Fender's still alive. We carry on, bit more of a fight.
That's when he pops back up again.
He pops back up, in this weird butcher's. For some reason, they end up in a butcher's. And again, we get the kind of...
It's funny because they don't even have butchers in America.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know, they ended up... Or someone who collected some chains for some reason.
Hang on, Americans don't have butchers?
Not in the same way we do, no.
Like, where do they meet then? Just in
not
the
stand alone.
Delis.
They haven't been in the supermarket.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Controversial, I don't know. That feels like,
I've never seen a butcher's in America.
Weird, isn't it? Why not?
Yeah. Don't know.
There you go. Strange but true. Anyway, Jean-Claude finishes Fender off with a kick against the hook, and he is dead this time, definitely. And they take Pearl back to the scientists, and the most ridiculous sentence of the whole film happens... When they say, "Do you want to stay, Jean-Claude?" And he's like, "Nah, I'm all right. We've got to go out back out there in the horrible wasteland for some reason." And Pearl, who is a cyborg, very intelligent, turns to a scientist, another very intelligent man, working on the cure. And she says to the scientist, "It's strange, but I feel he's the real cure for this world." Is he? It's like, the scientist just looks really confused, doesn't he? And then they walk off and that's the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you say, there are two sequels to this film. There is Cyborg 2, which in some countries was called Glass Shadow for some reason, which, I mean, it's got Elias Cortez, that guy. He's...
When you look at the poster, it's like, why would you even bother calling it Cyborg 2?
It is a direct, it is a proper sequel to it as well. It says it is. I mean, it's Angelina Jolie, Jack Palance,
yeah.
Billy Drago, who's in stuff, and this Elias Cortez guy, who you definitely know from stuff. The third sequel is called Cyborg 3 The Recycler, which is a terrible name for a
Malcolm McDowell's in that, isn't it?
Malcolm McDowell's in it. And in that, a cyborg gets pregnant. And and they look for Cytown to work out what's going on.
Well, a cyborg could get pregnant because they're just like a human. Started off with a human, right?
I guess. I guess they could get pregnant. Yeah, I guess.
You know, you're in the ship when Malcolm McDowell turns up, don't you? Because he would do fucking anything.
Yeah, he bloody will. So that is Cyborg. As Sam mentioned earlier, there is now a director's cut. There was a director's cut released in 2014. With the name Slinger.
But only in Germany.
Only in Germany. What, because they just love this film so much?
They demanded it.
It's a three-disc set.
Three discs?
Yep.
Wow. God. I mean, I like...
Maybe rubbish their films. Initial income came from Germany in the first place. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Even I like rubbish films. I don't need three discs of Cyborg. what did everyone think? I know it's terrible, but, I mean, how terrible? Was it fun terrible? Was it just terrible?
No, shite.
Just, Chris, you're all out? Not even...
Yeah.
Hated it?
Real rubbish.
Okay.
Real rubbish. Real crap. There was nothing, no redeeming features, really. I mean, I kind of like the attempt at practical effects.
Yeah? Good? Yeah. I mean, that's very positive from you.
But in the sense of, like, it was interesting to go, oh, yeah, you can see what they've done there.
Mm.
What they've tried to do there.
Yeah, like a kind of how not to do it, in a way.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a bit where she takes her hair off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the wipe of the hand going by, they actually wipe to, like, a puppet.
Oh.
Like, it starts off as her, and then her arm goes up. And on that wipe...
Yeah, that's the reveal, isn't it?
They switch it to...
Yeah.
Which I've never seen that done before.
Okay.
Or since.
Because
it's not what you do, or...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of jarring.
Well, good. Sam, could you find it? Did you have fun with Cyborg, or was it too...
Not
rubbish?
As much as I hoped. I hoped it'd be funnier and more fun than it was. It wasn't as...
No.
It was just kind of boring, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Someone made some big money on this, because they spent $500,000 and made $10 million, it says.
Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
And I think also I read some like things saying how they didn't really understand because it was really panned.
Yeah.
Like critically. So they couldn't really work out why it was a success. Which is strange, isn't it? I guess
but it's too late. Once they've been in and seen it, it's too late.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean,
and you can't do that now.
No. I mean, it delivers. It's gory. It's stupid. There's a lot of fighting. I think the guy playing Fender's he's doing the best he can. Everyone's doing all right. No one's any good. The script's terrible, but you know.
Was it all you hoped it would be if you was disappointed?
No, I was a little bit disappointed. There was some funny bits. I liked the bit. You know, I'm glad I've seen some of it. I think, I mean, Jean-Claude crucified on a ship. I think
it was worth it for that.
That was pretty good. And the bit where he's across the thing when I agree. There are better bad films. It wasn't as funny as I wanted it to be. Or as stupid. It wasn't stupid enough, probably.
No.
So, no, it was, no.
We have managed to spend almost an hour talking about it. Oh, okay. Pretty insane.
Yeah, that's good. Well done. This is, as you said on other things, it's probably the most in-depth analysis of the film Cyborg on the entire internet. Is. So, yeah. So, let's rate it. Science. I mean, any science?
Four.
What did you say? There's a number for post-apocalyptic films, but this is lower than that, isn't it? I mean...
Well, it's got a cyborg in it, so it's not just post-apocalypse, but it's just shit, isn't
it? Yeah,
so,
it's just crap. Like a 3?
Yeah.
I mean, Craft, very bad. I liked the sets, but it's not enough.
There are locations.
No, okay. Another 3 or a 2?
two.
I mean, no.
It's really bad.
No, I mean, in the art and cinematography, there are some nice shots, so I wouldn't say...
But there's also a lot of awful shots. Like, yeah. All the fight stuff's terrible. There's a bit like, when they go into like the crazy like town where things are going wrong, and there's like a guy's head just on a pole, just swivelling around like this. Like, things that's not really thought about what's going on.
Yeah.
It's really poorly made.
Like, a one or a two?
I think a two again.
A two, okay. Yeah. I mean, it... No significance, really. Do people, I mean, I had heard of it, but the fact that I haven't seen it probably says something, really, doesn't it? So, like, a two?
Yeah.
It is the first in the franchise.
It's got that little tick going for it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so should we all get ready?
Let's tilt this.
Three, two, one, tilt.
So it's twos...
2-2-1 from Chris, so very low altogether. But how low, you say? Well, looking at it...
0.247.
Very low. It looks to me, and I don't know if I'm right, I would say it's below V for Vendetta. But
no, it's above V for Vendetta.
Above V for Vendetta.
But below Zardos.
But God, below Zardos.
We really didn't like V for Vendetta, did we?
No, but it...
Awful.
Yeah, it was awful. And that Serenity is the other Serenity, not not the thingy Serenity.
I need to put the... Yeah, there, didn't I?
Yeah, 20. That's the weird Serenity, not 16, the Firefly.
Not the Sweden one.
Yeah. So, yeah, below Zardos. I mean, I think that's... That is okay, because Zardos at least is a bit more imaginative than... but we're bottom of the list here.
Zardos was a better film.
Yeah. So, yeah, next week, to continue our Fallout season... that we just pretended that we've done deliberately. We'll be also to celebrate Furiosa.
Also to coincide with Furiosa.
We will be returning to the world of Mad Max. Max Rockostinsky? What is his second?
Rockatansky.
Max, the mad one. We'll be back to the world of Mad Max with Mad Max 2. That's just it.
The Road Warrior.
Oh, the Road Warrior. That's the one. That's what it's called. So until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.